Well, imagine packing up your few belongings, leaving any family behind and just living out of your van and a life on the road. It's a lifestyle some choose. It's the lifestyle some are forced into, and it's the focus of a new film called Nomadland, which follows one woman living a nomadic lifestyle across America. This film debuted earlier this year to incredible critical acclaim. It's won top awards at both the Venice and Toronto film festivals, and it stars two-time Oscar winner Frances McDormand.
You are one of those lucky people that can travel anywhere.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
And they sometimes call you nomads.
My mom said that you're homeless. Is that true?
No, I'm not homeless. I'm just houseless. Not the same thing, right?
No.
Houseless, not homeless, Frances McDormand starring in this new film, Nomadland, which has quite a buzz about it, a front runner for Best Film and Best Director for next year's Oscars. And I would be very surprised if Frances McDormand isn't in there shortlisted for Best Actress too. Chloe Zhao is the film's director. I spoke to her earlier.
Thank you for having me.
Chloe, this film is striking. It's beautiful and it's yet so gritty. What drew you to this nomadic world?
I spend a lot of time in the middle of the country and camping in my car, just traveling while I was making my first two films. So there's always been an urge to make a road movie. So when Frances came and Peter Spears came to me with the book Nomadland, I was so moved by the characters that were portrayed in the book, and I knew that I wanted to be part of it.
So the characters in the book are one thing, but your movie stars Frances McDormand, I have to say, in a stunning performance. But most of the other people in the movie are not actors. They're people who are actually living this nomadic lifestyle. Why did you decide to film it this way?
There's something that is hard to recreate that you see out there. That happens when you live out here long enough. There's something. It's like the residue of nature that's attached to your face or something. It's a very difficult thing for me to recreate. So I heavily rely on the authenticity that they bring to the project.
And so, how did you direct non-actors? How difficult was that? Did you have to follow them around the country in their vans? How did you plan that in production terms and fit in with their lifestyle?
We find a location, which is a location where they have been before. Like, for example, like Corside, Arizona is where they gather every winter. And then we would ask them to come to us. That's how we plan it.
It's a lifestyle many people would know nothing of, but it's a lifestyle that for some of these people, at least, they've chosen freely. After spending so much time with all these people, time on the road, how do you describe the attraction of that lifestyle for them living out of a van? Why have they chosen it?
Well, sometimes, I mean, more often than not, it wasn't a choice at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for the people that are in the film. Obviously, there is the snowbird. There's people who retire and then hit the road. That's different. And more often than not, for the people in the film, it wasn't a choice. But as they went on, it became a choice. Many of them are forced to let go of the identities that define who they were for decades. Homes, jobs, relationships, community. And then suddenly losing all of that at the twilight of their lives, they find it's a very difficult process, but they rediscover themselves. And sometimes they find themselves finally. And out there in nature, you know, they're exposed to nature more. There's just a lot of less noise. And at first it's scary, but as time goes on, you hear yourself better.
It's the book that this is based on is called Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. What does this film and this lifestyle, this community tell us about surviving America in the 21st century?
Well, survive and thrive sounds very similar for a reason, I think. I like the idea of you don't have to, you know, it all depends how you look at it. You know, is someone living in a mansion on the top of Beverly Hills thrive by default, or is someone living in a van parked in a national park survive? You know, I think I think if anything, what I've learned out there, the ability to choose the narratives of your own life, the narrative of your own life, is the kind of freedom that money cannot buy.
And yet money is central to the choices they make, often in terms of destination, because they need to find work. And they literally, this community of older Americans, it must be said, literally chase work around the country. Near the beginning of the film, we have the scenes in the Amazon Fulfillment Center, and these van dwellers are part of what's called Amazon Force. This is a real thing. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Well, you know, I think it's very easy to focus on one institution and then blame them for everything, mm-hmm. you know, but the bigger issue at play here is the side effects of capitalism, in the downside of capitalism, because you know when you work your whole lives and then at the twilight of your life you only get $500 a month from the government. That's not right. That's not okay. So what Amazon Camperforce, when Amazon offered these jobs to people who are in the mobile living, it might seem terrible from the outside, but it's also the only options they had at the time. It's a very complicated issue because if you ask a lot of nomads, they would say, because of that job, that seasonal job, I was able to make this life choice transition. And you know, Amazon is the 21st century version of labor, manual labor job, like bee harvest. You know, like farming and ranching, it's like the 21st century version of it. So it was very important and interesting for us to see how labor has evolved as well in our country.
Yeah, I think for me, who had really no experience of this world, this window into the sorts of work that is out there for an older itinerant workforce was eye-opening, and a lot of it's very hard work. I mean, there's the Amazon work, but there's also, you know, scrubbing filthy toilets, unloading huge bags of potatoes. This is hard work. Is this what you found, that most people living on the road, this is how they're paying their way, working this hard?
You know, yeah, I mean, if one thing I could get a little more vocal about, I do feel like when a country don't take care of their elders. And I find that to be very dangerous. You know, I think if you look back at a lot of more traditional cultures, the elders are considered, old age are considered wisdom. They're the most important part of a society because they're the one that carried life lessons with them. Elders are the most important. They should be celebrated. And in the sort of fast-paced capitalistic Western society, we value youth more than anything. We discard, like, look at how they were treated during this pandemic in America. They were discarded as things that we don't need to worry about, and that's a big problem for the society, for humanity, you know. So I do think they shouldn't have to go, you know, harvesting bees and packing boxes when they're in their 70s. The government should have things, you know, they should take care of elders. And it's more important than a lot of other things the government spend money on.
Your movie has a lot of buzz about it, rightly so. We've been talking about some of the issues within it, but the cinematography is extraordinary. The landscape is almost as important as the characters. So it really benefits, I think, from seeing this on the big screen. But it's a different, difficult year this year. The pandemic has meant that big premieres haven't occurred. A lot of cinemas are shut. Fortunately, here in Australia, cinemas are open because at the moment this virus is under control. But do you see that this is a movie for the big screen and people will just have to kind of wait to really appreciate it?
You know, I think if it's safe, I would love for them to see on the big screen for the immersiveness of being in that landscape, this beautiful landscape of America, but also to support the movie theaters who had just gone through an apocalypse of their own.
And you yourself, you have been busy. You've produced not just this film, you've directed also rather The Eternals, a big budget Marvel superhero movie. So on the one hand, you're working on Nomadland out of a van, traveling around, and on the other hand, you're at the same time directing this blockbuster. How did you manage that dichotomy?
give up sleep and eating. No, I wrapped it at Nomadland. I wrapped Nomadland and I was able to jump into Eternals for prep right away. And then when I finished Eternals, I came back and edited Nomadland when Eternals were shut down because of the pandemic. And then when I finished Nomadland, it was also around the time Eternals started up again. So I was very, there was a little bit of overlap, but I was never have to juggle to. Now is probably the craziest time because of the press and then having to finish Eternals. I'm just been really lucky because I have two teams. Both as my team and Eternals and Nomadland, they both are extremely supportive, really carry me through when things get hard. So I've been very fortunate.
Chloe Zhao, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Chloe Zhao, director of Nomadland, and we are lucky here in Australia at the moment. Cinemas are open and this film will be showing in the cinema from Boxing Day. I recommend it.